Well, today, or this weekend, we are remembering Memorial Day, and my message today is going to be called Failing to Forget. You know, we don't want to forget, and you know, it's important that we honor those who have given their life for our country, and you know, it's an awesome thing. I just think about the country that we live in, and I hope you feel the same way, that we live in a great country. I know there's a lot of problems in it from time to time, but you know, compared to all the other options other than heaven, amen, that's going to be the best. But as far as living on this planet right now, we live in a great land, and we're going to honor that today. So thinking about failing to forget, you know, as you get a little bit older or something, I don't know what goes on, but you know, I forget some things. I have trouble with names sometimes. Usually not my own name, but every now and then. But you know, it's just it's hard to understand, you know, where some things maybe don't connect anymore. And I think that's where our country sometimes is at a crossroads, that sometimes we don't remember. And you know, how many of us would probably admit that we have trouble remembering things? And you know, some things are no big deal if you forget them, but you know, some things, if we forget them, it's life changing. And especially if you forget who you are as a Christian. You know, that's something we don't want to get into. So forgetting the high price of freedom can be devastating for a culture. And really, that's somewhat what happens in our life. Hey, the light went on. Praise God. Amen. You guys seen that? Amen. You guys get an idea? There you go. But when we take our freedom for granted, you know, we leave the next generation at a higher risk for losing their freedom. And you know, we don't want that. See, there's always evil people out there that's trying to take our liberties away. And freedom is, you know, Jesus died to set us free, and we need to remember that. Passage I want to look at, I'm going to try to weave in, you know, some Christianity stuff as well as some stuff that goes on, you know, in the United States of America. You know, I'm going to try to weave those two things, them thoughts together today. So I'm going to do the best that we can. So if Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 and 14... Exodus 12, 13, and 14 is a place in the Bible that the word memorial is used, okay? As I mentioned, tomorrow we are remembering Memorial Day. I mean, that's what it's about. It says there in verse 13, it says, "The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, we thank you for the moving of your word right now in our hearts, Lord, being able to move us to the place that we need to be. Lord, I know sometimes we get high-centered, Lord, and help us to get pushed the right way on which way we should stand and which way we should, you know, trust you. Lord God, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. I bind up the devil, and I thank you, Lord, for the gift you put in me. I want to use it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to start off here just talking about the idea of blood for freedom, okay? Blood for freedom. And over the last year or two, we have went into, you know, the tabernacle and the different things about how blood had to be shed to bring life and how important that is for each and every one of us to get that life. And it only happens. See, there's life in the blood, okay? Life in the blood. Now, the blood of animals can only get you for a year, but the blood of Jesus is eternal. Amen? Enough said about that. Now, also, we know that people's lives, they've given their life for other people. You know, the Bible says no greater thing is you lay down your life for a friend. And we have people that choose the lifestyle of going into the military, you know, to be able to defend our freedoms. And we need to remember those things. Now, what happened here in this story here in Exodus is the fact that evil had gone too far. Evil does that, doesn't it? Sometimes it just goes too far. What happened here is that Pharaoh had pushed God to the limit. You know, the people of Israel had went down to Egypt back with, you know, Joseph was down there, and they had a pretty good life for a while. But then Egypt felt like they were a threat, so they put them into slavery and bondage, okay? Well, finally, Pharaoh, he got to the place where he was wanting to, you know, kill the male children when they were born. And the people of Israel started to cry out, just like you and I need to cry out to God. You know, if we see things going on in our culture that we want to see change, we want to see God move, we need to cry out to God. That's not a now I lay me down to sleep prayer, people. You know, that's a prayer where you want to move things.
Thank you.
Amen. We need that. We need that in our life. So when these things kept happening, you know, and then God would bring some plagues, Moses went down there, and then Pharaoh would say, okay, they can go, they can go, they can go. Well, then he kept changing his mind. And finally, you know, God came to the end where he finally said, well, here's what I'm going to do. The firstborn is going to die unless they have the blood. So God told Moses a plan that was, you know, awesome in the sense that they had to kill a lamb, and they partook of the meat together, and also they took that blood, and over a doorpost like we have there, they put blood on the top and down both sides. And when that was there, that meant that the death angel had to pass over, see? Because the blood was a mark that there's life here, the people of God are here. The power that's in that blood. And so when that happened, then we know that it was a devastating thing for Egypt, that Pharaoh's son had even died, and it really got him kind of burned out, I guess, and then they took it all back. They told him to go, and then he went back after him. Matter of fact, it was prophesied, you know, 400 years before. See, God knows what's going to happen. And it says so in Genesis 15, 13, and 14, that says, God said to Abram, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they'll be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. But I will also judge the nation whom they will serve, and afterward they will come out with many possessions. See, God said he was going to judge Egypt. He was going to judge that nation for the evil that they've done. And see, God will judge nations for evil. He will do that. And they even said that the Israelites there was able to plunder Egypt. They just gave them stuff to get out of here. Here, go, you know, here, take this gold, take this jewelry, leave. And see, that's what happened in this. And basically, what I want us to remember in this is that if you mess with God's people, you're messing with God. And we need to remember that. I think so many times that we lay down and just give up when we don't want to stand and fight the good fight of faith. And what we see from this, that blood was shed for freedom. Them animals had to die, and then the blood was shed, and that was able to set the people free. Now the thing is that the Israelites were living in the same area that the Egyptians were. And any Israelite that would not put the blood, their firstborn died also. So there's a blessing that happens for you and I when we are obedient to God. A lot of people think that, you know, it's like greasy grace. I mean, we can do whatever we want and God will forgive us. Yes, God will forgive you, but, you know, you about have to be obedient if you really want to see the blessings start to manifest in your life. And it's worth it. It's worth it to pay that price. So as the blood was put on there and that blood was shed for freedom, you know, where there was no blood, there was no freedom. See, and that's kind of a concept. See, blood had to be shed to ensure freedom. It's the same concept through Jesus Christ. He was innocent, but he chose to die, and his blood was shed for you and I. And it's the same concept for our country. Somebody died so that we can be free right now. You know, I've done, you know, several funerals, especially for some military people. And knowing, you know, just what some of them had paid and the things that many of them have went through, you know, be able to ensure our freedom. And it's very difficult, you know, for us to understand unless you've been in that. You can't really explain some things. Some things just has to be experienced, and some of us will never know that. And in my opinion, someone has to stand between the innocence and evil, and that's the American soldier. And that's what they do for you and I. And we need to be thankful for that. We don't need to take it for granted. We don't need to be spitting on the flag or burning the flag or stomping on the flag, even though we're free to do that. And we're going to go into some of that in a little bit later. But see, somebody paid the ultimate price for you and I. And I think sometimes we forget. See, through the generations, the blood of American soldiers has been a payment for the freedom for our country. And we need to recognize that. No matter where you stand in life, on what political side you stand on, we have to acknowledge the fact that freedom is very precious.
Yes.
And we need to be able to exercise them rights, you know, accordingly. And talking about a memorial, and we should never forget the memorials that we're going to celebrate tomorrow, that, you know, people died in our place, you know, God didn't want the people of Israel to forget what happened here. He said, you got to do it every year. You got to partake of this Passover every year because he doesn't want you to forget. See, there's a danger in forgetting when we fail to remember. And we need to remember some things. We need to remember. I remember the things that I've learned as a young boy, the good things, amen, because there was some good things. I still remember as a young boy, and we'd go, and especially when going to Memorial Day, and I still remember them when they played taps. You know, you hear the close trumpet, and then you hear the one far away, and it just hits you. You know that, you know, the sorrow that kind of manifests inside of you, knowing that somebody paid the ultimate price. And as we remember that as a culture, I think it helps us keep it on track. See, in Christianity, that's why we take communion. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. We partake of communion. We partake of the body. We eat a cracker. Remember that time we had that bread? Oh my gosh, that stuff was terrible, wasn't it? You know? But anyway, I like a cracker. It's just kind of generic. It's good enough. I can get by it. But, you know, it's not that what the cracker, the bread is, it's what it symbolizes. That when we're partaking of that, we're partaking of the life of Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. The life of Jesus Christ is inside of us. And then we would partake of the blood covenant, the blood of the covenant. Then we drink that juice. And that juice, we're saying yes and amen to the covenant that we're brought into. You know, that we're saying, yes, Jesus Christ, you paid for my price. I want to live for you. You know, my body is no longer my own. I'm living for you. And see, in Christianity, we remember death, but we need to focus on the life. How important it is to hold on to the life that Jesus Christ has come to give us. And it's freedom. I'll tell you what, before I experienced Jesus Christ for myself, I wasn't free. I was bound to different things. And I'm sure you could probably, you know, write down a couple things in your life that you was bound to before you surrendered to Christ. And then you experienced that freedom. That confidence that we have that when we come to Jesus Christ, it is so awesome. There's nothing like it. But see, sometimes we take freedom for granted. I'm going to look at a couple passages here in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9 first, and it says, but take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Okay? There's something we have to keep in mind as a believer, what God wants us to do. Galatians 5:13 goes on to say, for you were called to freedom. See, that's what we're called to, people. It says, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. See, there's a difference between selfish freedom and community freedom. Now, I'm free, but see, I choose to limit my freedom, hopefully for the benefits of others also. And that's what we have to remember. Some people don't do that. Some people are selfish in their freedom. They think they can do whatever they want. I don't know about you, but some people hate, you know, how many hate, you know, speed laws, how fast you can drive, until somebody drives like a maniac and almost hits your kid. You know? I'm free. I should be able to drive like I want. But I'm glad that not everybody can do what they want. So we have limited freedom sometimes that we have to exercise and to be able to understand, you know, what it means to live in a culture with other people. So there I'm going to talk about now is the idea of the danger of forgiving and forgetting and the idea of self-limiting freedom. See, we don't want to cause other people to stumble. You know, my freedom in Christ, I know there's times, especially when I was a babe in Christ, I know that my understanding of freedom, I do remember that sometimes I made somebody else stumble because of my freedom. And I'm going to go into that in a little bit here. See, our actions do and can affect other people. And so we need to be aware what's going on around us, especially as a Christian. There's things, see, the world is looking at us sometimes, especially if they know. If you wear them Christian t-shirts, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you got that Christian t-shirt, hey, I'm a believer, I'm sold out for God, he paid his price for me, and you're out there, you're sporting that t-shirt, then you yell at somebody at the park. You know what I mean? That's kind of hard sometimes. You might make somebody stumble if you get mad over nothing. You know? I mean, that's what happened. But a lot of people, you know, I love them t-shirts, you know. But I'll be honest, I obey the speed limits, you know, unless I'm going on a long trip, and then I have a tendency to drive a little faster. That's why I don't have a Christian bumper sticker on my vehicle. Amen? Oh my, no. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. But see, we don't want to cause other people to stumble. See, we need to be aware of what's going on around us. Now, I've went into this before. Drinking a beer may not be a sin to you, but drinking a beer in front of an alcoholic and saying one beer has never hurt anybody is a sin. And, you know, I think, I know there was a time in my life I did that. And I believe I caused somebody to stumble. They were an alcoholic. I was not aware of that at the time. But I found out later. And I felt terrible about that because I made them stumble. See, we are going to make mistakes. But see, we have to, you know, cherish our freedom, but know that we have to limit our freedom sometimes. Sometimes for the benefit of others. That's what Jesus says here. We need to serve other people. See, our relationship with God is for us, but as a Christian, it's bigger than us. That's what we join to be a Christian, to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. It's not just about us. See, I know we tell you that, hey, Jesus died for me. If I was the only one, he would have died for me. And some people stop right there. Oh, it's all about me. No, it's not. It's about your neighbor, too. It's about the people around us. You know, we want them to come to Christ. The greatest feeling you're ever going to have, other than be it when you first become born again, is when you lead somebody else to Jesus. That's an awesome feeling. If you haven't done so, I encourage you to make that your goal before you go to heaven, is to try to lead somebody to Christ. See, and as a Christian, I think sometimes we don't need to be naive. We need to learn how to read a room. You know what I mean? Who's in this room? What are we talking about here? I mean, is what I say? You know, Paul, you know, in the scripture, it talked about, you know, it's okay to eat, you know, all the meat, but for the sake of a weaker brother, see, they would offer, you know, some of the meat, it would be offered to idols. Well, we know them things are fake, right? Paul knew they was fake. There's no life in those other idols. They're fake. They're demonic. But for the sake of other people, Paul said, when you're around weaker brothers or sisters, you know, don't partake of that. Don't be a part of something that could cause them to stumble. And see, that's what we have to have, that balance when we walk. So, you know, to me, if we remember how much something costs, we will less likely throw it away. You know, how many like to buy something for $100 and next year it's you sell it for $3 at a garage sale? I mean, I don't do that. I just soon keep it and give it away, you know, or something. You never know, you might need it. So we got this big pile over here of stuff I'll probably never use. But see, stuff is expensive sometimes. And yet we discard it as it's nothing. See, as a Christian, our freedom should cause us to walk to a different standard. You know, my goal as a Christian is to be free and enjoy. I'll tell you what, I enjoy my walk with Christ. And all that entails, I mean, somebody that could actually love me for me, I mean, that's awesome because I live with me. I know. I'm not that easy. And it took Denise, you know, somebody of her caliber to be able to put up with me. You know what I'm saying? So, but I'm so thankful. And, you know, there's a danger when you and I give in to our flesh, that old nature. And I encourage us to know the difference. We're not going to go into that now. But see, I have been around long enough as a Christian. I have witnessed some Christians that have allowed their freedom to get them into bondage to sin again. You know, they're so free, they don't have... You're free, you don't have to go to church. I'm free. I have my relationship with God. I can study the Bible on myself. I can do what I want. And it's not long before they're gone. They would not understand the concept of what it means to be a part of a community. Of other believers, to be able to live with other believers and make yourself accountable to things and to be able to walk that life out together and how important that is. And it happens because sometimes, you know, we get slothful. We get slothful or lazy. You know, I am going to tell you this. It's hard to be on fire 24/7, 365, ain't it? I don't know. I can't do it. I mean, I go through some, you know, a little bit of flow, ebb and flow of life sometimes, but for the most part, I do have my head above water, amen? I with my type of personality, I don't really have a lot of dips, but I don't have a lot of highs all the time either, so I guess what do you do? But anyway, you know, you have to stay on track. You have to faith it when you don't feel it, okay? And that's what we need to do. See, it's to me, I think about, you know, whatever reason, God has birthed this inside of me, and I really care about the next generation. You know, y'all remember that story about King Hezekiah? He had some visitors from Babylon or somewhere over in there, and they came and they visited the kingdom, and he took them in. He kind of showed off a little bit, and he showed them all the stuff, you know what I mean? All the gold and silver things they had and all these things. And then I think Isaiah come along and said, "Hey, who was that?" You know, he says, "Oh, that's Babylon or whatever. I showed them everything." And he says, "They're going to come and they're going to take everything." But then he said, "But it's not going to happen in your lifetime. It'll happen to your children." And Hezekiah puffed up a little bit. "I'm fine. I'm safe. It's not going to happen to me." What kind of a deal is that? Every time I read that story, I read through the Bible every year. Every time I read that story, it just hits me every time. What kind of a parent would not care about the next generation? What kind of parent wouldn't care about, you know, what's coming down the track and what these kids are going to have to experience? And I know we can't, you know, maybe change everything, but we've got to change something. Right. And see, the next generation would fail to remember what God has done, so they had no idea what God could do. And see, we need to make sure that we tell those stories. A lot of kids these days, they don't know the old stories of Jonah and all these different things in the Bible and David and Goliath and all these things. They don't know. They've never been told. They don't know how to remember these things. And so over time, you know, in the Old Testament, as we watch the Jews, they would forget about God. They would have somebody that's on fire, some good preacher come along, and they'd follow them for a little bit and bless God, we're serving God. And then when that person died, oh man, we're just out, you know, chasing after the God of the Philistines and all these different things, you know, because they forgot their God. They didn't remember. And see, we need to remember. So how do we maybe straighten some of these things out? You know, we need to get back to our roots and how important that is. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the ancient foundations and the marker stones. And, you know, those are really interesting because those marker stones would be a boundary. And I remember as a kid to the south, we would there was a farm that, you know, that we owned. And, you know, I remember as a kid I was having to fix fence, and I hated fixing fence. I don't know why. I just did not like the fixed fence, but we did it because I had to. I wanted to eat, amen? You know what I'm saying? And I was too little to whoop my dad, so I wouldn't have whooped him anyway, but I mean, I just had to do what he told me. So he's over there fixing fence, and all of a sudden, along the fence there was a little concrete marker just down there in the middle of nowhere. And I asked my dad, what's that thing? He says, "That's the boundary marker to this farm. It's been there for 100 years. Sitting there, it's a marker. It's a thing to remember that this is as far as you go." And so you and I need to have boundaries set up in our life that's as far as we're going to go. Because if we don't have a boundary, we're going to cross the line. That's why I try to tell young people, when you go on a date, you better set a boundary before you start. The best boundary is to put the biggest Bible you can find and put it between you and the other person. Amen? You know, and you have a little mouse trap there when they stick their hand over. Some of them might need a rat trap. I know a place where you can get some if you need them. But anyway, you know, just to, you know, keep them in line. But, you know, how we need to always remember and keep things immemorial before us and getting back to our roots. See, as a Christian, this is where I'm going to go into some little bit of politics, not much. Not as bad as the other day, you know, I'm just kidding. But as a Christian, we have some great documents that we can be thankful for. And I'm so thankful I've been born as an American. It is awesome. Yes. Now, number one, the greatest document I feel that's ever been given to mankind is the Bible. We have a Bible. I mean, we have Bibles and all kinds of translations, don't we? No matter what slang or thing you want to talk, you can find a Bible, and you should. You should get a Bible, read it in a couple different translations, and it might bring a little more clarity to a word picture to your mind. And we never take that for granted, so I just want to state that the most important thing that ever been given to mankind is the Bible, God's Word. But, you know, in saying that, we need to trust the Bible more than we trust religion, okay? Religion will lead us astray. That's man when it gets in there. It starts to make some rules and, you know, move some things around and, you know, make it so it's better for them than it is, you know, for the person. And we're not for that. We're not for religion. You know, even though we are Christian, we're not for a religion type of thing. Now, the second thing, and this is about us being American, is the fact that we have a Constitution and a Bill of Rights. And I'll be honest, sometimes we forget. You know, how many of us has probably read the Constitution or the Bill of Rights in the last year? History class. Amen. I think we need to all read it. I think your assignment is to read it today or tomorrow, especially as we remember those who died for us. It won't take very long. But to read them documents, then you'll kind of see why when you listen to the news, you'll understand things a little differently, if you know what I mean. If you understand what it is and what you have. See, we can trust those documents, and I'm not starting to bring an insurrection here, but we can trust those documents, but we cannot trust the government all the time. The government will lie to us because the government wants to make it all about them. But our forefathers, by the hand of God, our country was founded on Christianity. Amen. These guys had a relationship with God. Most of them did. And when they crafted these documents, I believe it was by the hand of God because they asked God's hand Amen. To be in that. And, you know, what it is that these documents say that we have and the freedoms and the rights that we have as an American are awesome. They're powerful. But they're under attack. Just like Christianity's under attack. All these things are under attack. See, to me, now this is my own personal opinion. I'm a step behind from my pulpit, but I got to read it. It says, big government to me is like big religion. It tries to control us and take away our freedom. Same thing. I'm not for big government. I'm not for big religion. Right. I'm for Christianity. Yes. I'm for the Bible. I'm for the fact that what it says in those documents that we can have as an American are ours, and we don't need to take those away. And I don't want to take them away from you. You have as many rights and freedoms as I have as an American. And that's why we can pick and choose what we do. I don't like the choices everybody makes, but I do understand that as an American, they have the right to choose those. Right. And we have to give them that right. We can pray for them. We can, you know, try to see them change. But yet, we cannot take people's freedoms away. Only evil dictators do that. They try to take things away. And the devil's the biggest evil dictator there ever was. See, we as Christians need to live by the Word of God, and politicians and judges need to live by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. That's how important it is. That's when everything starts to work together. That's how freedom is really ever maintained. That's how we can explain it to the next generation. We can take them down and, you know, our country started in the 1700s, and we can show them just why our country has gotten to the place it has. It's because we had a plan. We had a plan. And that plan was to live by this. We don't need, you know, politicians, you know, or judges trying to change that plan, you know. We need to elect people, you know, that will make the right decisions. And like I say, I challenge us to read those. I know I'm going to this weekend. I just skimmed over a little bit of them today. But, you know, I think we need to do that. I think it will help us to understand. And, you know, hopefully it'll when we see some things happen in our nation, it'll drive us to our knees in prayer. See, the problem is when the silent majority yields its voice to the militant minority. I believe there's more good people than bad in our country by far. But the sad thing is, the people who have some of these radical ideas, they're more into it than we are. We just have a live and let live kind of mentality, and we're afraid to get involved. See, and the idea that our country has paid the price over and over for freedom, and we should never, we should remember that every time we see a flag draped across the casket. See, when we're sitting there, maybe watching the news or something, and all of a sudden, out of those planes comes a casket with a flag over the top of it, that should do something to us. You know, we should not flip the channel. we should maybe pause a moment and pray for that family that have lost somebody who gave their life so valiantly for our behalf so that we could be free. The reason why we fight over there is so we don't want to fight here. You know, talk about what's going on over in Eastern Europe right now, what that's like. War has come to that nation. They've been invaded by an evil dictator. And they're fighting in the streets. Just for a moment, put your mind in a place where, picture in our town right now, that an evil dictator was driving tanks through our city, shooting innocent people. Would that change the way that we view things? But see, that's what's happening in Ukraine right now. That's what they're going through. And so we fought only one war here, really, the Civil War, and it was a terrible thing. We never want to have that again. You know, but the promise that we have when we choose to, you know, walk in freedom, you know, we have to, you know, be able to understand all that is and the price that we all have had to pay, and that some have paid dearly for it. You know, Memorial Day is when we remember that we had to exchange blood for freedom, you know. And it's something that, you know, we have. I know Jeff has lost family members over in Vietnam, and I remember losing neighbors that I grew up with. They were older than me, and I looked at them like, whoa, these guys are cool. But they never came home. And I remember, man, you know, as a young 10 or 12-year-old boy, and, you know, and these kids that I've looked up to, and, you know, they were on the list. You know, hard things. And see, the road to freedom is lined with the blood, with blood, and filled with tears. And, you know, we need to, you know, I'm not wanting to beat us over the head and make us feel bad about it, but I'm just telling us to be thankful and be grateful for what's been done for us through Jesus Christ, number one. And then through, for me, it's the American soldier, as I'm an American. And in closing, to me, it's both a great honor and a privilege to live in a country that people are willing to die for. Because not all countries are like that. We live in a country that people are willing to die for. The American soldier and people that try to get to this country, you know, we have something great here, people. Amen. But I think we can make it greater. Yes. Amen. Amen. For the glory of God.
Yes.
You know, as we lift up Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer.
Thank you.